Father, this morning, please, by your Holy Spirit, reveal, help us. Take us deeper, Holy Spirit, into the truth found in our Savior, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit to bear witness, to testify to the world concerning you, Jesus Christ, who you are and what you've done. And so we thank you this morning as we learn, as we hear, as we participate in your ministry. Amen. Amen. I'd like us to go to John 16. And this is where Jesus is speaking a little bit more concerning the Holy Spirit. In John 14, he is saying to the disciples that when he leaves, the Holy Spirit will come and that will bring in the reality of the Father and the Son making their dwelling within the believer, those who believe. And he is carrying on in chapter 15 and continually sharing more of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the joy of the union now that we have with the Father and the Son because of the Holy Spirit. And in John 16, he continues sharing a little bit more of the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to just read from verse 5. It's interesting. From verse 1, he's saying, I'm telling you these things so that when it happens, you will not be led astray. And so he's preparing them, he's sharing them what's going to take place so that as it starts to take place, say, wow, this is what you've said, it's okay, we're in a safe place and we can continue believing. Same as we read scripture, God has shared with us what will be taking place in the world. So as things happen, it's not like, wow, what's happening? He's already prepared us so that we will not fall away. Okay. And so he's carrying on. And this is why the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so powerful, because reminds us of the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has said will take place. So here in John chapter 16, Jesus says, now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? And last Sunday, we started to speak a little bit more of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's crucial when we understand more of the life and just what happened in the resurrection of Jesus to help us understand the reality of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, I'm going to him. Remember, when I go to the Father, I'm going to be asking. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. If he could lie, no. He always speaks truth. But he's emphasizing something. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of the guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. In other words, he will prove to the world the reality of sin. He will prove to the world, he will convict the world, he will convince the world in the reality of righteousness and also in the reality of judgment. Okay, in regards to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Here we have an incredible insight to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we are on a particular theme at the moment where the Holy Spirit's guiding us concerning the gospel of a Heavenly Father, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. So we notice here that the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this particular portion of Scripture, the teaching of Jesus, it's all about the good news of the Father concerning His Son, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, whoever believes in him will not perish. Again, the sin of unbelief speaks about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus and also what Christ did on the cross in bringing judgment upon Satan and setting the world free from being under the control of Satan. And that is the evidence of all of this. So we see there that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in the context of testifying, of witnessing the reality of Jesus Christ, the good news of the Heavenly Father, communicating that to the world. Okay, so that's the context of so much that is taking place here. Some time back we looked there in Acts chapter 5. I want to just read it again in verse 30 to verse 32, where we see the same thing taking place. Here we see that the apostles are busy and sharing the gospel and they're being persecuted and all those things are taking place. And he then says over here, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. And notice here in the context of the good news of concerning Jesus Christ, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed. So again, the resurrection of Jesus will always be a stumbling block to people. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witness of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So here we see again, not only did Jesus say you must be the witnesses, but also the Holy Spirit is the witness of all that took place at the death and the resurrection of the Son of the Living God, our Savior, our Redeemer. The Holy Spirit witnessed that. And so the Holy Spirit's ministry is to convey that message, to be a messenger of the death and the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Much, much more, but we're speaking in the context now of the incredible reality of the good news concerning Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. So we know in Acts chapter 2 where we have the reality of Pentecost, and I'm just going to just read here again just so that we can recap up here. In let's go to Acts chapter 1 first. In verse 4, we see here where Luke is busy writing concerning the events that took place. And he then goes on, and Jesus is speaking to the disciples after teaching about the kingdom of God. And the disciples are asking them, when is this going to take place? And Jesus goes and he says, I'm giving you this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Wait for the gift my Father promised. And we need to spend a bit of time in that now, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met again together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and at the end, and to the end of the world. And then we see how Jesus was taken up. But here we notice here that, again, the Holy Spirit is going to be the witness. And then he says, but now you also are going to be my witnesses. So the gift that Jesus is speaking to about the Holy Spirit is to empower them for the purpose of being a witness. To empower them for the purpose of testifying together with the Holy Spirit concerning the incredible good news of God for mankind. That's huge when we start to understand why are we baptized by the Holy Spirit? Why do we receive the Holy Spirit? Because it brings us to the foundation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit for us as believers. Empowered to go and proclaim to be God's messengers on earth concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the Father's gift to mankind, His Son Jesus Christ. So that's crucial. It's very easy to sidetrack that and get around with all other kinds of fanciful teachings, etc., missing out the very core, the very heartbeat of God for you and I as believers to communicate to be His messengers. So we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to communicate, to be the messengers. And as we continue to do this, the Holy Spirit also, His function is to be to communicate the message to the world. And that's why people are born again by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. But we also are involved, and as we share the gospel, the Holy Spirit is at work. Now that's important, because why do we read it that Paul is not ashamed of the gospel? Because he understood this. He understood that this gospel is the power of God to bring salvation. He understood there that as he's communicating the good news, the Holy Spirit is communicating, and the Holy Spirit is breaking through and giving life to the people that are hearing. So he's not ashamed. Likewise for you and I, that's why we are in the process now of refining our message, so that our message has the gospel in it and it's not anything else, but be able to share the reality of God so loved the world, what that actually means, and to be able to communicate who Christ is, to be able to communicate what He has done on our behalf, to be able to communicate the reality of the resurrection, and also to be able to communicate about the gift of the Holy Spirit that when you believe you received, and now go and witness. So it's important for us to be able to start to put these things together. So that's what we're busy doing at the moment, is just getting the information, taking it into our hearts to receive. Now, what's crucial this morning? The Holy Spirit started to share earlier this morning what I'm going to share now. In Psalm 89 and verse 14, we read here, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. So here's something profound in the way that God works, and He shares over here that righteousness and justice is the foundation of God's throne. We pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. The foundation of that prayer, Thy kingdom come, the throne of God, that foundation is righteousness and justice. Important. Okay? Let's go to Romans. And let's have a look here in Romans quickly. In Romans chapter 4. We know that in the gospel, in Romans 1 verse 16-17, we know that in the gospel, this good news of God concerning His Son Jesus Christ, here a righteousness from God is revealed, that we who believe receive by faith. Okay? And then we go through and we see there in Romans chapter 3 so much about the reality that there's no one righteous, and he's sharing about the law, and the law is to reveal to all of us the reality of what sin is all about. It awakens us up to the reality that we are sin, and because sin is that reality of that which is not in line with God. It's against God, and anything that is not measuring up to His incredible, perfect moral standard, we are convicted of that. Our conscience is as part of that conviction. God has made us in His image. So in us, we've got that reality of the perfection of God's nature, of his moral attributes. And when we lie, when we steal, that we become aware, so we will give account for that. Whether often people say that they've never heard the gospel, but God says in Romans 2 that we will be judged according to that conviction. So here we have an example of Abraham, and he's speaking about the reality that the way that you and I are justified is simply by receiving the gift of righteousness. Okay? Jesus says, wait, I'm going to my Father, wait until my Father will now send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. The foundation, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is righteousness and justice. Okay? So now we come and we read here concerning Abraham. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So here we have an amazing reality that God's righteousness is placed into our account because we simply believed. And therefore we now have become the righteousness of God. Okay, let's carry on. Now he carries on and he shares so much more about this incredible gift of righteousness, and again comparing it to the law and about Abraham who just simply believed. And then he continues and he says over here, let me just read here from verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised in order that righteousness might be credited to them. Okay, I'll expand it now. And he is also the father of the circumcised who not only are circumcised but also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abram had before he was circumcised. It is not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Okay? And then we carry on, and therefore in verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may by grace that you may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring. Let's just quickly put this in context. How do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? How do we receive the promises of God? How do we receive what God has promised? Just say whatever the promise may be. How do we receive that? We know there it's by faith we receive the promise. But what does faith bring about? Faith brings about God's righteousness. And we receive the Holy Spirit because of Christ's righteousness. Not anything about our so-called righteousness. Every single promise that God has promised in His scripture, you and I receive it, not by our effort. We receive it simply because God has given us His righteousness, the foundation of our Christian life. Crucial. This gets established and we realize, God, when you put faith in me and you shared the reality of your Son Jesus Christ and I simply believed, that moment, the righteousness of your Son Jesus, your righteousness, you put into my account and you've declared me righteous. And because of His righteousness, I receive Holy Spirit. Because of His righteousness, I receive eternal life. Because of His righteousness, I receive every single promise. Every promise is a yes in Christ Jesus. I receive every promise because of His righteousness. God has promised for me, for 1947, It's not about my so-called righteousness. That promise is a reality because of Christ's righteousness. In other words, everything that you and I receive is the fruit of Christ's life. That's the harvest that you and I start to enter into. Everything. So as we are starting to find a foundation, because what happens, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that in order to be able to do this. And there's all this added on work stuff that we've got to be doing, got to be doing, got to be doing. Getting back to the real foundation of our lives, His kingdom is in us, the throne of God, this righteousness and justice. It's a gift that we have received. And because of Christ's righteousness, we have received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit now empowers us to live a life and brings about the transformation within us. It's Christ's righteousness. And as we continue to begin to understand how to minister in the new covenant, how to operate in the gifts, how to operate in all these things, it's again, there's a mindset that I've got to be doing this. The mindset for many, you've got to go fast for 500 days in order to be able to do this kind of stuff. You've got to, you know, there's so many other things that are added on there. But the Word of God says Abraham simply believed. And he was credited righteousness. And because he received God's righteousness, the promise came and was fulfilled, because he continued to walk by faith and fully persuaded that what God had promised, God will bring it about. A life of faith. And that life of faith brought in the reality of the righteousness of God. So Abram was declared righteous. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It's a gift. It's grace. You want to receive the promises of God for your life? Let me tell you, this is the to-do list that you've got to do. We've all got those there, and we think like that. This is what I must do, this must do. I'm not perfect enough, I'm not good enough, I've got to stop this, I've got to stop that. And it's all these kind of lists. And God is saying, no, 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 no. Simply receive the reality of my son's perfection as a gift. Receive that as you get born again, you receive that, you and I receive that. And now God says, you are my righteousness. So we read over there, because when we're looking at the resurrection of Jesus in John 16, and we see how the Holy Spirit will convict, the Holy Spirit will communicate to the world and bring the evidence and to prove what they are thinking and believing is wrong because of the resurrection of Jesus again to the Father because of righteousness. And all of a sudden we start to understand something about what Jesus is saying in John chapter 16. So let's go back to John 16 as we look at these things. Here in John 16, when Jesus is the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And I think probably in everyone's translation, you will see there's so many different words, because there's not one English word that can describe Parakletos. So there's many, many words that try and give an understanding, and the different translations have different words. So that Jesus is saying that who's going to send the Holy Spirit? Jesus says that when I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to you and I because of his righteousness. Okay? We would never have been able to receive the Holy Spirit if we were not righteous. But we have received Christ's righteousness, and therefore we are able to have the Holy Spirit come and dwell within us because of his righteousness. Celebrate the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Celebrate the gift. Because that enabled the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us because of his righteousness. Okay, celebrate. It'd be good to go and spend time thinking on that. And you'll have many wow moments as you get more understanding there. And we carry on, and he says over here, and I will send you the counselor, there's many words, as I said, helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, the one who stands alongside of us there. And One of the words I like in this context is the word advocate. Because the advocate, the helper, the advisor, but the one who gives evidence. The one who gives evidence that stands up in court. And here we have the Holy Spirit, the one who gives evidence to the world. It stands up that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The one who gives evidence to the world that they cannot deny that you are guilty of sin and this sin is the sin of unbelief. You cannot deny that. So when we're praying and we're asking God, God, why don't you just draw people to your Son, Jesus Christ? The faith in this is because you and I have the gift of righteousness, and the prayer of the righteous is powerful, and the faith is simply, wow, God, your Holy Spirit is giving evidence to the world. The people that you and I are praying for to be saved, your Spirit is giving evidence concerning the reality of the unbelief. They don't yet realize they have unbelief, but your Holy Spirit is waking up and sharing with them that their sin is the sin of unbelief. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. How did you and I get saved? We realized, and suddenly we started to believe, and that's a big sin. What did Jesus say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only one begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will be saved. Those who do not believe will be condemned and already stand in condemnation. So unbelief is what we're dealing with over here. You're not going to go around and tell everybody, oh, because you're doing this, you are sinning. Because you're doing this, you're sinning. They're doing that because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's the root. That's what we're dealing with. The sin of unbelief. Satan has blinded the mind of the believer so that they will not believe. And that's why we don't go around and pointing out people's faults and blah, 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 blah. No, they do not believe. That's our focus, the power of the gospel for people to be saved. And we focus on the truth. We focus on the reality of the Holy Spirit's ministry to convict. And we as parents are good at that. We are good at pointing out all our kids' faults and all that and blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is maybe they just do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about the transformation. That does not just believe that in Christ Jesus they have a future, they have a purpose. They don't believe that yet. We must pray for them to be able to know the reality of what Christ has done for their lives. So we've got here when Jesus speaks and he says here concerning when he comes, he will convict, he will prove to the world. He will give evidence to the world that will stand up in the courts of heaven. He will give evidence to the world and no one can deny this. That's why the resurrection is such a powerful reality of the evidence to the world. And because the wages of sin is death, etc. And Jesus overcame that. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment in regards to sin because men do not believe in me. Okay, so last Sunday we looked at the reality of the resurrection of Jesus in Romans 1:4, where God declares, in the resurrection of his Son, God declares, this is my Son. God declares you are the Son of God. God, the resurrection is God's amen. This is my Son, Jesus Christ. He is fully man, but he is fully God. And that's the resurrection that we looked at last Sunday. And so here we see that the reality of the Holy Spirit in communicating, the Holy Spirit will prove to the world of the unbelief in Jesus Christ. So in the resurrection of Jesus, remember what Jesus said, who he was. He said he is the Son of God. The Old Testament spoke about Jesus. The prophets prophesied concerning the Messiah. Fascinating in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah prophesies that from David there will be a branch of righteousness, The Lord is our righteousness, referring to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the gift that we have received, His righteousness. And so all the time, these people at that time that they're speaking to, they've got an understanding of the Old Testament, and Christ now has been raised from the dead, and here the Holy Spirit who testifies, Acts chapter 5, the Holy Spirit who witnessed the death and resurrection of Jesus, now the Holy Spirit is the messenger communicating in the spiritual realm the reality of this, convicting the world of their sin of unbelief. Remember, as we start putting these things together, as if anyone wanting to just write down a presentation of the good news of God, here you can start where we see about the sin of unbelief. Have you ever seen, what does your name mean? And I also wonder what my name means. You've heard about Jesus. You know what His name means? His name means to save people from their sin. Can I tell you how that worked out in history? You've got history to demonstrate the reality of the power of what His name means for mankind. You see, there's so many ways you can share the gospel. Simple ways. But now you're taking the reality here because of unbelief, the sin of unbelief, and you can start to share the reality of what Jesus has done. His name means to take away our sins. Savior. And we can carry on. And that opens up amazing, amazing story for you to share about the life of Jesus. And we carry on and we see here in regards to sin, because men do not believe in me, in regards to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And that's what we looked at last Sunday, where the resurrection of Jesus. There's a law of God. And God's law said that if you eat from this tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. It's a law that operates for eternity. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. The wages of sin is death. Death is the separation of life. So here's the law of God. Through one man's disobedience, Romans chapter 5, through one man's disobedience, all have died. It's the law of God. The wages of sin is death. So here we see where the people were saying, Jesus, you are a blasphemer. They accused him of being a sinner. They would say, you're a sinner because you're eating with sinners, you're a glutton, etc. So every religious leaders were saying that you're a sinner, you lie, and you're a blasphemer, you Beelzebub, you name it. And they were continually sharing. But the law, the wage of the sinner's death, they knew because it's in the Old Testament prophets. And here Jesus rises from the dead. God said in Psalm that my Holy One will not see decay. My Holy One, the Righteous One, will not see decay. And here, all of history, here you see Jesus being raised from the dead. He wasn't a sinner. That law, the wage of the sin of death, could not operate in his life because he had not sinned. See? And so the resurrection of Jesus over here, the Holy Spirit starts to prove to the world that the Son of God has triumphed. The Son of God is truly the Son of God. He is the answer to deal with your sin, because your sin is a law operating. You're going to die and be separated from God for all eternity. The Holy Spirit communicates that. So our gospel is not to try and, oh, come to Jesus, have a lovely life. No, we tell them about the reality that there's a power within us, there's a law operating within us, and that law is death because of sin that powerfully, we spoke on Wednesday about the wages of sin is death. Romans, again, you can use Romans, where we're no longer a slave to sin. So as a slave to sin, what are my wages? Death. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm now a slave to righteousness, and the wages and the gift of that is eternal life. And it's totally different. So there's so many concepts that you and I can use as we just take these scriptures, like with two scriptures we're using here this morning, just to open up and be able to build an incredible gospel story. But we need to, I think all of you know by now, that I don't like these just quick devotional books, because you stay very shallow. They make us lazy. And I know I'm just ducking from all the, not over here. That's why we need to get into the Word of God, and we take a scripture like this and we start to dig. We start to put effort. We start to get understanding. Add to your faith goodness. Add to your goodness knowledge. See, we don't want to stay shallow, just getting our feet wet in the truth. We want it to go deeper, and that takes time where you and I spend time in the Word and to begin to understand and go through, do a word study, go through whatever it takes to get a better understanding, so that when we speak, it's not just, oh, God so loves you, and that we speak, we can begin to share why God loves you. What has He done to demonstrate His love for you? What's the power of His love? And we've got substance now that we can communicate to people. And then he carries on, and he says of in regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. In Colossians 2, we read over there that Christ's incredible death on the cross is where he triumphed over Satan. John chapter 3. And he starts to share. Let's just read that, because us as believers, we can testify together with the Holy Spirit how powerful the judgment of Jesus over Satan was in his death. The sinlessness of Jesus, Satan had no hold over him. The resurrection of Jesus is the statement that the hold that Satan had over the world, he is the prince of this world, the hold that Satan had over this world, Christ has overcome that. Just like the resurrection of Jesus, that law of sin and death that operates in me, that law does not operate, because now in me, the law of the Spirit of life now operates for those who believe. That's why we have eternal life. Okay, it's a different law now that we're operating in as believers. Here we see anyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Good description of what sin is. But you know that he appeared, this is Jesus Christ, to take away our sins, the name of Jesus, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin either has seen him or has known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God came was to destroy the devil's works. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. We as believers live a life that declares that Christ has destroyed the devil's work, because we are no longer slaves to sin. We have now got the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live a new life. We're now slave to righteousness. And this is why it's so important for us, as we received Christ's perfection, his moral perfection, the gift of righteousness, God's righteousness he gave to you and I. And because we simply believed, God put his Spirit in us. And because he's got his Spirit within us, he empowers us now, the law of the Spirit of life, to be able to live a life that is no longer slave to sin. That testimony proves to the world by the Holy Spirit that Christ has triumphed over Satan, and therefore there will be a judgment for all. So, the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. The foundation of our lives in Christ Jesus is the same. We are rooted and established in the reality of God's righteousness and justice in His Son. Amen. I know this might be quite heavy today, but it'll go deep over a period of time. Why will God answer the prayers for our family? Promises that God has given for our family. Why will He answer those prayers? Good question. He will answer the prayers because of Christ's righteousness that we have received as a gift. Whatever we ask in His name, He is our righteousness. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, as we have communion with You this morning, we want to thank You for Your righteousness. I'm asking this morning that for all of us, we will understand what You meant about rest in Your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm asking, Father, that the concerns, the worries, even when You promise, seek first Your righteousness, Your kingdom and righteousness, back to the foundation. And that foundation we've entered into, we are establishing that foundation simply because You have given us Your Son's righteousness as a gift. And as we stay in faith, as we stay in just that simple faith in You, Jesus Christ, receiving from You this most amazing gift and the Holy Spirit's ministry that we have received from You, we stay in that reality of seeking first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. We live in it, and all these other things shall be added. And Father, I'm asking that as You promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking now that we have received it because we simply believed. I'm asking, Father, that every other promise that You've communicated to us, that today will be that turning point. Today will be a day where we suddenly just find a place of rest and we realize it's not about my efforts. We realize it's not about what I'm doing and my works to try and get the promises become established, but to realize the foundation of promise is righteousness and this gift, because grace reigns through this gift of righteousness. So I'm asking, Father, that by the Spirit of God, Your Holy Spirit, Spirit of grace, that as we communicate, as we're praying for the lost, as we're praying for our nation, as we're praying for the towns that we're living in, as we're praying for loved ones and friends, I want to thank You that our prayers are now going to be based and rooted and founded on the fact that these prayers are rooted in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the fruit of his labor. And that's why, Lord, as we celebrate this morning, we are celebrating seated with you. We're celebrating the reality of what it means to pray in your name. We're celebrating the reality of what it means to be in you. Because in you, we are living in the reality of righteousness. And we thank you. So I want to thank you this morning for the law of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, your law is the law of life found in Christ Jesus. And for all of us, wherever we may be struggling in our thoughts and our behaviors and in whatever it may be, today, Lord, I'm asking for the blood of Christ, your blood, Jesus, to really just deal with all that stuff that we've added on. And again, just simply to step in, Jesus, what you have done and how we've received your gift, your obedience, your love, everything about you we've received as a gift. And we received you, Holy Spirit, because you promised, Father, that you will give us a new heart. You promised that you will put your Spirit in us that will help us to obey. After you've promised. And we receive that. So Holy Spirit, thank you as you bring about this incredible transformation. It's fascinating when Paul writes there that where you are Lord, Holy Spirit, then there's this incredible transformation from glory to glory takes place. And that's why it's such a joy to be able to acknowledge you, Holy Spirit, to be able to embrace you and to follow you and to be led by you, because we know we are being led by Jesus Christ. We know then that we are fulfilling and walking in the Father's will. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I cannot emphasize, you keep on sharing the fact of the power of your incredible righteousness that we have received. Set us free from the load and the burden that we've placed upon ourselves and one another today. And let us walk out of this building today, Lord Jesus, free. Let us walk out of here this morning totally free, because we are in the realm of just receiving and living in your righteousness as a gift. And we thank you for that. Lord, I'm asking that this will open up what it means to be sons and daughters. I'm asking now that this will open up more and more of the place of incredible rest where you speak about perfect love drives out fear. Open that up to us by your Spirit, Father. What you've shared, I'm asking that this will be established and really become such a foundation in our lives that we know. And this we thank you, Jesus, and we celebrate your life this morning. Amen. Amen.